Welcome to Thunderwolf Podcast, home of the legendary all-you-can-eat tomato and mustard sandwiches. Come on down and get yourself mustard and tomato sandwiches for only $14.99 and all-you-can-eat, including Jell-O. We're here in the spare bedroom studio. Our producer, Devin, is standing by. What's up, Devin? I'm Jacob. Who is this? This is Shane.
Oh, yeah.
That's who that is.
Hey there.
And today we have for you Thunderwolf Updates, Nice Guys Talks, and Favorite Actors or Actresses, depending on, you know, who that might be, your favorite. How is everyone? Thank you for bearing with us through the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Episode 31 was not as expected. I don't know if we actually had expectations, but it went through.
You know what I just realized?
What's that?
You may have already realized this. And I just didn't, but episode 31 was the Halloween episode.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Until just now?
No, I didn't.
That's very cool.
I did not. That is really cool.
It almost seems like we did that on purpose.
Which we did, because we're geniuses and honestly the best in the podcast business.
The pod game.
Yeah. So we're back. This is a regularly scheduled episode of Thunderwolf Podcast. No crickets, which... I got a new mic, old one, for 30 episodes, and probably 15 of them we were told about it, listen, learn. And so we're trying this new microphone out instead of my Shure Super 55 or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, so dueling macho mans.
No dueling macho mans here today. I reprised the macho man last night for a party.
Oh, did you? Nice.
Yeah. It wasn't nearly as,
infamous.
Rambunctious, yeah, infamous as the one before. So being Macho Man was hardly relevant to the game of pool or eating pulled pork at the stove.
Yeah. Are you gonna hang up the the hat or the glasses or?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably, I don't know, throw them in a fire or some shit. I'll be done with them.
All right. Wanna do some Thunderwolf updates?
Let's get to it.
Okay. So
pitter patter, let's get at her.
Let's see. SNL last night, Chance the Rapper was on there.
Yes.
And I thought he did a nice little ode to Chicago being the second city.
Yeah.
And he just did like a little video, and I wanted to play it for everybody, and that'd just be one of the updates.
I thought it was really lucky what he did there, had that opportunity to play.
Yeah, it was a good chance.
There you go.
Yeah, I got it.
Right, here we go.
Chicago, the city that fathered me, called the second city, but that doesn't bother me. I gotta tell you, I think it's the reverse, because sometimes the second best is better than the first. Sometimes the second best is better than the first. Like, I don't like Google, I use Bing. I like French fries from Burger King. When it comes to Harry Potter, people give me grief because I prefer Percy Jackson Lightning Thief. I only drink Pepsi, never Coca-Cola. Jimmy Kimmel's fine, but I love Adam Carolla. And Robin Gibb, favorite BG. I hate Mario, love Luigi. Cause I'm the kind of guy that likes the second best better. I'm the kind of guy that likes the second best one. I like DMC better than Run. Cause I'm the kind of guy that likes the second best, son. Hey, Kyle Mooney.
There we go.
Why is Chicago called the second city? Devin,
I don't know. That's some,
yeah, Devin, let's look that up real quick. On it, please.
But while he's doing that, I'll go ahead and go into what would be my second Thunderwolf update. I just thought this was a fun little thing right here.
Yeah.
Australian water rats cut cane toads open with surgical precision to feast on their hearts. Scientists say native rodents in Western Australia have discovered how to kill and eat parts of the poisonous pests.
So, all of that sounds incredibly metal, and I'm all about it.
It's just cool. So what I'm getting from this is that these frogs are poisonous,
mm-hmm.
and rats have learned how to like eat them without getting poisoned.
See,
and it says the word medical precision makes me think of like a rat. You know,
has a scalpel.
Yeah.
He's in a nice little scrubs.
Yeah, and he's like constantly washing his hands.
Yeah.
He's, you know,
they do that. They're elbow. So cute.
Up to his elbow.
Mm-hmm. His little rat elbows.
And he's like asking for surgical things. He said a scalpel.
That would be really cute, wouldn't it? Yeah. A little rat dressed up like a plague doctor The irony would just be brilliant, I think.
Yeah. I dig it. What do you think about that? Was that a good Thunder? I mean, that was just a short and sweet kind
of... Can you say it again? Because there's a lot of words there.
Australian water rats cut cane toads open with surgical precision to feast on their hearts. Scientists say native rodents in Western Australia have discovered how to kill and eat parts of the poisonous pests.
That's gnarly.
It almost sounds like a freaking poem.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't rhyme a lot or anything, but...
No,
You can not rhyme in a poem, right?
No, you have to rhyme. Every word has to rhyme.
All right. Third, Oscar-winning filmmaker Morgan Neville, I think I'm saying his last name correctly, the director behind last year's documentary Breakout, Won't You Be My Neighbor, obviously with what's his name? Mr. Rogers, cool, got it before you can do it, is set to helm a documentary about Anthony Bourdain.
Oh.
Wouldn't you love that?
Yeah, I would.
So I thought that was some good news, is that we'll get a, so Won't You Be My Neighbor, I've actually seen it,
Tom Hanks is in that, right?
I'm not sure. Nope.
I'm serious. Like, as Mr. Rogers.
No, I thought it was just a documentary about.
Oh, I thought there was a movie coming out about Mr. Rogers.
There probably is that as well, but. This is just a documentary about him.
Yeah, Devin's got that pulled up. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, 2019.
There you go.
Out already. It's Tom Hanks. Release date. It is not out already. It is November 22nd. Metacritics and Rotten Tomato have already scored this, though.
What is it?
What is what?
The scores.
7 out of 10 IMDb, 82% Metacritic, 96% Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes must have some money invested.
Yeah, a little bit of slip and slide from the funds.
But what I got from this is how excited I am to just be able to get a documentary about Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be cool. I think somebody said they were going to do that with Chris Cornell too, right?
That would be cool. Maybe they should just do one with all these talented people that unfortunately left the earth. Too early.
Left the earth?
The earth. Yeah. Like that's nerf.
A frontal TH, I think. TH fronting. That's what it's called.
So you know Usain Bolt, right?
Bolt?
Usain Bolt.
Oh. I thought you said you're saying Bolt. Or you saw
Do
Bolt.
Do you know you're Usain Bolt? Bolt?
Yeah. The race car driver. No, he's a racer Kenya, right? He's a runner.
I think he's from Jamaica, right?
Is he Jamaica?
I think so.
I legitimately thought it was Kenya. But he's a runner.
Yeah.
I know who that
is. The fastest man in the world.
Yes. Cheetah guy.
He says, having tried his hand at making it at soccer playing since hanging up his running spikes, Jamaican sprinting icon Usain Bolt has said he would love to try a crack at the NFL, but only if he got a call from the New England Patriots or the Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Hmm.
How do you think that would pan out for him? I know you don't, not too big of a sports guy.
I mean, what would he do? Would he be catchy guy who runs real fast and then catches the ball?
Yeah, a receiver.
That's, yeah.
A wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not a narrow receiver?
I guess that's what you could call the, I don't know the positions all that well, but there's guys that, there's wide receivers and I think there's like the inside ones that go and do like shorter routes.
So there are those things already. Yeah.
But also I think they're also wide receivers. I don't know, but there's guys that do shorter routes. But I think sometimes the guys in the middle go long and the guys on the outside go short. So yeah. I don't really know. I don't know that much about football other than like the players and you know, the teams and shit. But
well, that makes sense.
I never actually.
What do you think? Like, do you think he would do well or?
Well, he has to know how to run routes,
mm-hmm.
which he has to have really good footwork.
He probably can't learn those things at this point in his life, right?
Probably not. Yeah. I think the thing with that would be, you know, yes, he's really, really fast and he could just be good for running straight, doing a Hail Mary or something like that, and then outrunning whatever defensive receiver. But does he have the footwork to get away from the receiver if he's going short? Does he have... can he catch the ball?
Yeah.
That's going to be huge. If he can't catch the ball, then he might as well just not do it at all. So,
you're just a runner.
So it's probably just talk and something fun for people to talk about. And he's just being silly, like, I'd play for the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know?
He's
like, I'd play for the Patriots.
That's pretty good. That was a Kenyan accent? No,
Irish.
Oh.
So I actually heard about this today. President Trump on Sunday announced that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the elusive Islamic state leader, died during the U.S. military operation in Syria, a major breakthrough more than 5 years after the militant launched a self-proclaimed caliphate. Is that a word?
I don't know.
C-A-L-I-P-H-A-T-E.
Yeah, caliphate. I don't know. I really don't know.
That inspired violence worldwide. Last night, the United States brought the world's number one terrorist leader to justice, Trump said in a televised announcement from the White House. He was a sick and deprived man, and now he's gone. The president described what he called a dangerous and daring nighttime operation by the U.S. Special Operations Forces in northwest Syria involving a series of firefights and a culminating in what he said was a retreat by Baghdadi into a tunnel. Baghdadi detonated an explosive vest, killing himself and three of the six children he was believed to have.
Damn.
So basically, special ops guys went in there to take care of this guy, and before they could get to him, he blew himself up. But this is kind of similar to the whole Osama bin Laden.
It sounds pretty similar to, to the compound raid, right?
Yeah. Or maybe they just did some really fucked up stuff to him, and then they were like, man, how are we going to cover this up?
He blew himself up. Yeah, just
blow up the whole room.
Yeah. I trust nothing anymore.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
Yeah. It would blow yourself up or trust nothing?
No, I would blow stuff up so that I would blow, I would do all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
And then blow up the area where
that way
I did the bad stuff.
Yeah, that way you're not there anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know a lot of people I'm kind of blazing through these. If you want to stop and talk about any of this,
I'm just jumping in as we go.
I'm updating you.
I love it. These are the updates to the world. this is what this bit has kind of become, because I'm so detached from the news and the world now, because it is so negative.
Well, and this is actually me picking and choosing things that I want to talk about.
Which is cool.
Because a lot of it is just straight shitting on Trump.
Yeah.
And we had this conversation, obviously, when you weren't here with Justin.
Orange man bad.
It's just, basically. I have to sift through Reddit's news articles, because 99% of them are about how Trump is, or how Ivanka is using, how she has the, gets people to help her cover up media stuff. It's just so
Orange man bad. No, orange man good. Lol, snowflake liberal.
They're all just sitting in a room somewhere. I guarantee they have the Trump shit on team, where they're just we're in a room, sitting in a room, and they're just how can we post something that's just going to make Trump look bad?
Yeah.
But it's I wonder if they realize that people are I see through it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it still gets the clicks from people who don't.
Yeah.
So they're just going to keep making it. Journalism has just become that. Especially, there's no papers. Nobody cares about the news. Not really. Old people do.
And there's people out there that just want to go somewhere where they're
away.
No shit. Where can I see things about Trump being shit on?
Yeah. For sure.
They're Reddit's got my back.
Yeah. And I've said, I have no qualms saying I don't really care for Trump. I don't think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that his policies are real thought out. I think a lot of it is self-serving. And yet, my identity is not derived from that opinion.
Yeah, I feel
who
the same
I am
way.
As a person is not, I hate Trump, orange man bad.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these people, I feel like they get, they're blind with fury and hatred.
Yeah.
And they're not able to see what is real about the situation. They're so just mad that he is there and the president, and he makes these comments, that they're not able to act like a rational person.
Well, yeah, no, I'm completely in agreement with that. And I think the instantaneousness of the phone and having entertainment, you have a meme, a ha 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 funny moment.
Yeah.
Then you have a news article about how, 39 people were found dead in a garbage truck. Then you have,
that's my next update, by the way.
Perfect. We'll lead to that then. And then you have a sports thing.
Yeah.
And then you have Trump.
Yeah.
You have all of it next to each other, and nobody reads.
The political news now is just Trump.
Yeah.
And then those people that are blind with fury, that are so mad at his existence.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's working against them.
Yeah. It is. That's why he's going to get 2020.
I've seen where the people that claim they're so peaceful and they want the right things, and they're these upstanding citizens, and they're you know, the left or whatever. And then you just see them at some kind of rally or something, and they're just acting more, they're acting worse and more irrational than any other party. Yeah. Like they're cussing and fighting and doing all these things. Like you see the Antifa and all, you know, all these people that say they're for peace. I don't know if Antifa says they're for peace, but I'm seeing a lot of protesters who their side of whatever political side that they're on is like, we're peace and we just want this. But then they're the people out in the street fighting and doing all these crazy things.
If you want peace, prepare for war. One of those scenarios, though, I think. And I'm not for it. I really am not. Yeah. I grew up. I still hold myself like I didn't change that much from when I was a kid, and my political leanings now are, they tend to be more conservative, despite my lifestyle, despite what I think. I mean, all in spite of, I'm this way, and I feel like the identity of the left that I grew up with, I was very pro gay. As a kid, very pro, like make your own choices. Yeah. So there's a lot of social, almost libertarian views that I have. And I think the libertarians are stupid. I think the Democrats, the Republicans, I think they're all stupid. My opinions tend to be more conservative now in comparison, but just what you said, I think that hurt the movement significantly. I don't want to identify with the left. I don't want to.
And that's why I consider my views on all this stuff so spattered.
Yeah.
Like I can pull and pick from each one, but then I'll see, you know, that side or whatever, you know, party doing something that I don't agree with. So it's hard to place yourself.
And very much so. It's
crazy to me that, I mean, we've had the conversation of Republicans can agree with things that Democrats want and vice versa. And it's weird that people can call themselves one of those things so wholeheartedly. And I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. When there's so many things that each of those people or each of those groups stand for that aren't below or like something, not something that you necessarily agree on.
Yeah, they're not polar opposites. Mm-mm. They want to be portrayed that way.
Yeah.
That like, I am a Democrat, so I am just, I am right, and everything that the Republicans are is wrong, and then vice versa. I am a Republican, and the Democrats are trash, and if you believe anything like the Democrats, you're garbage. And it's like, that's not at all how ideas work.
Also,
that's not
I how feel the
alignment
like
works.
Gasoline, it's not black and white. Like all the people you're talking about who say they're either this or that are gasoline. And then the fucking media is the matches. You know what I mean? Like it's like they're fueling the disagreements.
Yes.
And then it's keeping them having a job.
Yes, exactly.
So by them making it worse and fueling it, then they're able to come up with more things to talk about.
Exactly.
So the most absurd thing that they can post on whatever CNN, whatever it might be, it just keeps, you know,
keeps going.
Keeps
the fire literally
stoking the fire.
Exactly. Yeah. And that to me is why I've kind of, I was thinking, literally thinking this thought, and it's not perfect yet, but coming into the house today, getting the bag for all of our equipment, walking up to your door, I get text messages from people about how bad the world is going. Mm-hmm. And it's always like, look how terrible this is. Ha ha ha. We are all doomed. And while I might share some of those nihilistic views, if it is something that I can't personally affect, then I don't care anymore. I can't. My response back was, well, I guess I'll just shoot myself then. Like, if you believe all of this so heartedly and you are propagating this, you're saying that all of this, you know, nothing matters. You are literally instigating the nihilism. Then why not just all of us simultaneously blow our brains out?
I think you have only a certain amount of things that your mind can worry about.
Yeah.
And why make it things that you have absolutely no control over?
Agreed completely.
I have
a thousand
different things going on in just my life by itself.
Right.
Why add all that crap?
Yeah. Why care? Okay, cool. So it happened in the world and it does have an effect and a consequence. Yeah. I'm all about that philosophy. But on the practical level, on the pragmatic, in the moment, I don't care that there's a drought in Africa. Yeah. It doesn't affect me in a direct way that I have some sort of regard or control over it.
You have sympathy for it.
Yeah,
exactly. You're like, man, that sucks, and I really wish that wasn't happening, but nothing that I can do or am willing to do.
Right, so thoughts and prayers. So let me offer that. And then it's
like, are you
going
to fly over there tonight? No.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like, yeah, like everybody says, well, you could do something about it. Well,
no,
I'm not in a place in my life where I'm going to go fly and help these people or whatever.
What I can do is affect the people in my world right around me, my friends, my family, strangers. I can affect those people. I can vote for local politicians.
Yeah.
I can actually make some sort of an effect or change or cast my stone in the water to make a splash in the local sphere.
Do you think it's fair
we do that?
Do you think it's fair to say that also we talked about how you and I maybe have a lot of things going on in our life that we can't really spend time with these things that we can't control. But what about people not having enough going on in their life to where that's all they do is find something that they're offended by, or they find things, they sift the internet so that they can have a cause or like the person that's messaging, I obviously don't know who they are or what, anything like that. But like, I would never personally like find an article and go out of my way to send it unless it was like funny.
Right.
You know, if I thought it was funny, I was like, I want to show this to somebody else because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But if it was like something bad that's going on in the world, and just send it to somebody and be like, man, isn't this really bad?
Yeah.
That just seems like they're either searching for something that is bad so that they can feel some type of way about it. And or I know a lot of people that something that they're bothered by, they want to go find things that they're going to be offended by.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fear-based, I think, most of the time on both either political leaning. It tends to be fear-based when you do those kind of things and propagation of your own addiction to the misery, right? Like, I am a sad person, so I'm going to find news articles specifically tailored to me by my recommended algorithm that are feeding into my showing back up again. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody continuously shows up on the same negative fear-mongering, whether it's fake news or real news, hardly relevant in this circumstance, that algorithm is going to learn your behaviors. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to give you more things that you clearly are into.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that can be healthy.
It's like you're being controlled by
1,000%. And usually it's like articles about AI and stuff about how, and you're being controlled by the algorithm of AI already.
And you're oblivious of it.
Yeah. But you think that because you're sharing these news articles or because you learn that the world is terrible, horrible place, suddenly you're better. You're better than the sheep. Right. And that's usually the line on either side.
And I feel like you create your own existence and your own frame of mind.
Yeah.
And people are constantly choosing to surround themselves with negative things and like going out onto the internet and finding and choosing their surroundings and choosing those things. And it's like you could do such a better job of just like, I like to just spend my days looking at funny stuff.
Yeah.
And like, obviously I read articles about information about science and things like that. That's really interesting. But I don't spend and waste my time going over and over again something that some politician said.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I feel like the gun thing has just been the problem has been put out there and understood. And then, like, where else do we go from here? It's like it keeps repeating.
I really think it's just going to repeat. The whole cycle.
What I'm saying is like, what else is there to know about it?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to
nothing.
I'm not going to continue to read articles on gun reform and all this stuff because it is what it's already.
It's a cultural siege war. That's it.
Yeah.
It is going to be an endless battle of we're taking the guns. No, we're not. How dare you? I gave them up. I'll
until
die for this.
Really big. Happens,
until they go away.
Yeah.
Until the Americans fight back and there's a second revolution or. They get taken away.
But
that's
I see
it. That's
good,
all there's
a good long time and years of just arguing about it for a long
time. I would suspect so for right now. Yeah. At least 2050. Maybe.
Yeah.
30 years.
There's probably no way telling. Something big would like something obviously crazy would have to happen for it to have a quicker outcome.
Yeah.
But just I mean that's probably
scientific research shows though that it's like heating up 2 degrees, and I think we've already got 1.6 degrees Celsius warmed up to, around the globe. And it's 2 degrees is when things start going really bad, which is projected in like 2030, 2036, I think. Mm. So not too, well, not too far out.
Didn't Trump say that we should buy Greenland?
Yeah. Yeah. What? So
I heard that on, actually, I heard on Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan was like, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Cause like when you actually do, when the earth starts to melt, that's going to be like an oasis, like a nice place.
It's going to be. And the reason I looked into that, cause I was like, okay, if Trump has any personal interest in buying something, it's because he's personally going to be financed by it, or yeah, have some sort of personal finance.
Yeah.
And
he's going to get something out of it.
Sure enough, yeah, Greenland is home, or believed to be home, one of the two.
Oil or something?
Tons of oil on the coast for fracking off of Greenland, off the coast of it, and just making bank. So rape Mother Earth a little bit more, make a little bit more dollars before the end times, and then...
Yeah. All right, you ready to move on?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk something good.
You've already kind of...
talk something good. 39 dead bodies.
Yeah. So you've already kind of...
I forgot to... Sorry about that. I didn't mean to steal your update.
No, we're moving along at a good pace here.
Good deal.
London, a 25-year-old man was charged on Saturday with manslaughter and a trafficking conspiracy in connection with the deaths of 39 people whose bodies were found in a refrigerated truck in southeastern England in Essex police. Oh, in Essex, but the police said. The man, the truck's driver, who was identified on Saturday as Maurice Robinson of Northern Ireland. Ireland, there we go. Also faces 39 counts of conspiracy to assist unlawful immigration and money laundering when he appears at the Chelmsford Magistrates Court on Monday, the Essex police said in a statement. Mr. Robinson was originally arrested on suspicion of murder after the grisly discovery in Essex, England, this past week spurred an investigation that stretched beyond Britain's borders to Belgium, China, Ireland, and Vietnam. The case bears all the markings of a global trafficking operation gone tragically wrong.
It's insane.
Yeah.
39 people. And those ones were just, you know, found.
Yeah. I think the majority of the people found on were...
women and children?
Korean.
Oh.
And Vietnamese? Huh. Yeah, there we go.
Dude, the trafficking, that's yeah, it. That's the new big crime.
Could you see her? I mean, just I've tried to put myself in this place. Imagine be driving down the road in a truck with 39 dead bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be really, really screwed in the head.
Well, he's from Ireland. He's probably a drinker. He's probably just a cold.
Oh yeah, a bar fighter.
Yeah,
a dirty leprechaun.
Like, you know how to drive a truck. He's like,
is leprechaun an insult yet?
I
like that. I didn't mean to cut off your okay. Irish. That was really good.
I just like to picture them, you know, asking me if he like, who here knows how to drive a semi? And he's like, I do.
I don't know. I don't know if leprechaun is an insult yet. I hope it's not.
I don't think so. We could be wrong, though. But that's pretty much it for Thunderwolf updates. I mean, I don't know how much you can talk about.
That's too hot. It picked up your cough. I'm trying to adjust where that sound is, right? So that's it for the updates, right? That felt like a lifetime, but it'll be like 2 seconds on the actual radio.
Yeah.
Irish people, love them, hate them, wish they died in the potato famine. What's your thoughts?
I don't have any thoughts because I don't really know anyone that's Irish or from Ireland.
Brisky O'Flanagan, the Irish prick.
That sounds like somebody.
It's a good character.
Sounds like a real person.
I know a Brisky O'Flanagan. So that's the updates. 39 bodies, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what we're gonna do. Just like that. I mean, I guess it's good to know. Is it good to know?
I'm just glad that's not happening here.
I'm sure it is.
It is, but as long as I don't know about it.
I'm sure it is.
Ignorance is bliss, my friend.
It really is. We have had this talk on here, I think, about the simpler life being not aware or being dumb to the world. Yeah. Ignorance is bliss.
Also, right? As much as I'm kidding saying that, my thing is just I'm at a point where I only feel like I have the tools to take care of me and mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
My friends, my family, and that's about all I can do without, you know, getting into some kind of weird...
some sort of weird...
I don't hear anything, so...
No, I'm trying to make it bigger.
Do you want to stop it?
No. We're good.
Okay.
I warned people I was gonna be testing new mics. Okay, so my WAV file was too small.
It's not all. It's too small.
No, my penis is very tiny. It's inadequate, and I please no one.
Anyways,
did I nuke the joke?
No, it's okay. It wasn't a very good joke. Anyways, I was making an ironic dick joke.
Speaking of dick jokes, nice guys.
Yeah.
Perfect transition here.
Yeah.
So you were telling me yesterday, we were working on the floor, tearing up the bathroom floor. By the way, let's never do that again without masks.
Okay. Sounds good.
Did you cough all night?
No.
I did. And I thought that was dumb of me. Very dumb.
We probably,
very silly.
Inhaled a lot of bad stuff. You think?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. I think we're going to die now.
Took a couple years.
One day.
Took a couple years of our life.
Oh, actually, on second thought, then let's do another carpet right now. Yeah. So we were working yesterday, and you were telling me that was it a recent Joe? I think it was, right?
Yeah.
He was talking about nice guys.
Yeah, he had some female comedian on there, I think.
And nice guys to be defined as not a person who is nice, but a guy who that's all he is.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I think when you hear the term nice guys, you think, man, like, you know, this person isn't getting a chance at being, you know, maybe taken seriously. Our girls just don't like a nice guy. How many times have you heard that? Right.
Right.
So the thing with that is I feel like that's, Joe Rogan was saying that that's all they are, is nice guys. They're not anything other than that. They don't have any other attributes that make them a good partner.
Exactly.
And he was saying that...
Those are incels, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, just being a nice guy, maybe they're just not getting the same opportunities as
that's fair.
Non-nice guy. So you can be a nice guy and still get laid from time to time, but you or somebody else thinks that you're not getting laid because of the fact that you're just a nice guy.
Yeah.
But... Joe Rogan made a good point saying that if you're only a nice guy, you just have that one attribute. You don't have any kind of like, you also don't have, he was saying like you could be a deadly nice guy or a person that can, you're nice when you need to be nice or you're nice because you want to be nice. You know, that's what I liked about the whole conversation was that like, you can choose to be nice, but you all also can be not nice when you need to be.
Yeah.
So that's what I think is cool is like a guy just being a nice guy. Inevitably, it's like you grow up and you're just that nice. He's such a nice guy, nice guy, nice guy. But I think you can tell, like, I think you're a nice guy.
Oh, thank you.
But I also think that you choose to be a nice guy.
That's very true.
Especially, and then you have given times in your life, and so do I, some actually more recent.
Yeah.
Where we have chosen not to be nice guys.
Yeah, for the moment demanded so.
Yeah. So I just think that was kind of a cool... And I think if you were given a normal person, just a regular nice guy, that situation...
Yeah.
They would have just continued to be that nice guy.
They would have rolled over and played dead.
Yeah.
Shown their belly.
And I don't think the other sex likes, you know...
No.
The only nice guy.
And I mean...
I'm probably doing a really shitty job at explaining this, but it all makes sense.
Why would
in my
they,
head.
Though? Why would a girl want somebody? Why would a woman want somebody who wouldn't protect themselves or the family? I mean, on a biological level, let alone societally, why would... I can't imagine somebody would go, yeah, I want the guy who, when confrontation is met... backs down immediately. It does not have any conviction or integrity. Doesn't stand up for himself physically, emotionally, whatever.
Yeah.
Or let alone me. Because if somebody isn't going to do that to themselves, probably not going to do it to.
Like, and I don't think either sex wants the other person to fold over everything.
No.
Like I would not want to be with a girl who every time I said something, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? It just seems kind of like a weakness.
Dude, it really probably is a thing that people will be upset about somewhere down the road. Maybe not our listeners, but the agreeableness. Peterson talks about that, Jordan Peterson, which I like him. I don't agree with everything he says, and I don't have to. And that doesn't mean that I, you know, disregard him. But he talks a lot about the agreeableness versus disagreeableness. And the disagreeable quality, I think, is that factor of not being the nice guy. Agreeable, that you just go along with everything, completely subservient and all facets of life.
And you can be disagreeing, but also be nice about it.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah. You can... that's what I like to do now. I don't like to have the full-blown debates, whether it's in person or Facebook or social media in general. It doesn't seem... it doesn't seem profitable in any way.
Yeah.
But you can still have those conversations. We do it. We do it personal life, podcasts, friends, whatever. I don't agree with that. And here's why. And then you just say it. But maybe, I don't know. I feel like, and then maybe this is completely anecdotal and it's all feeling and there's no real meaning to it. But I feel like the qualities that I ascribe to masculinity, this, what we're talking about, choosing to be a nice guy, willing to protect and defend and do all these things, having the skills and that mindset, I feel like that's something that's going away. The older I've gotten, maybe it is purely my own, you know, projection or thoughts around the world, but as I've gotten into more skills, typical or classical masculine things, working out, fishing, hunting, whatever it might be. I feel like when I'm trying to reach out to other people and be like, hey, I do these things now, they're like, oh, I don't. And it's just an interesting thought. And as a whole, then I try to look at it. Do you think that those classical, not toxic masculinity, because I do think that's a thing.
Yeah.
But masculinity as a whole is almost labeled now, like what we were saying, with the matches and gasoline of the media. Masculinity is almost something that's it's sold out as if it is next to or the same as toxic in general, and then is reduced. I don't find the man's man, the Burt Reynolds of the 70s, you don't see those very much anymore, if at all.
I think normal masculinity is misconstrued as toxic.
That's exactly, yeah, exactly.
I think that's a thing. So anytime you're in a situation and you show any kind of masculine, like, you shouldn't be afraid to be a man and be masculine, because I think that's one of our greatest traits, and I think females enjoy that. I could be wrong, but obviously there's an extent where it's you're being over masculine.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, exactly what we're talking about. But I just think, I don't know, it's getting to the point where you're not allowed to be masculine because it's misconstrued for...
Yeah, which is a very interesting thing. And that's kind of where I'm at in life, is I'm just doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And truly not to be like a rebellious or edgy or anything.
Because you're not willing to give that up.
I value those things.
You're not willing to give that up.
No, I like them. I like the stuff
that I'm doing. I don't think by any means you and I are both saying we're super masculine.
Not at all.
But I think
I wear tight pants, jewelry. I love makeup. Like, I love poetry. Like, are those things classical masculine? No, not at all.
Yeah. I think you should find a happy medium between those things that you're just talking about and masculinity.
Exactly. I was trying to tell somebody that, who said that they didn't believe in toxic masculinity. And here's where I'm at with the thought, and see what you think. I really think that there are, there's masculine and feminine, right? As the base things. I suppose there could be a neutral, but maybe not. But then it's, you have toxic masculinity, neutral masculinity, and positive masculinity. Flip side, you have positive femininity, neutral femininity, and then toxic femininity.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think that's a very balanced way to look. There are things that are inherently masculine that they just are. And then there are some things that are inherently masculine that's really not okay. Like, not allowing yourself to feel like what men have done.
Or like, you don't cry.
Exactly. Yeah. For 1,000 generation, or it's not 1,000. Yeah. That's way hyperbole. But to that same idea, that's, I don't think that that's okay. It's, the only emotion, you're not allowed to show emotions unless it's rage.
Yeah.
That's pretty toxic of masculinity.
How do you feel about things like arm wrestling and, you know, that thing at the bar, you punch it and it gives you the points? Like,
I felt
very different ways about those things because I think those things are fun. I think it's fun, especially when you're with the boys,
right,
to just kind of like have some competition between each other. And those things, when you're out of the bars, like if I was at a bar, and this is the other side, if I was at a bar and I saw two guys arm wrestling, I'd be like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, that's so bro-y and douchey. But then I could, in another scenario, see myself doing that.
Yeah.
And the same with the punching machine is like, I gave that thing, I used to just like, I'm not doing that. That's so douchey to watch. See there, I can punch harder than you can punch. Right. And then I finally did it and I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where like competitiveness is fun.
I agree.
And if it comes off to other people, at me at one point, as over masculine or douchey, then those people just have to put up with that.
Then, oh well.
Yeah. I mean,
then I will punch them because they are stupid.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things where like I kind of knocked it before I tried it.
Yeah.
And I am.
I have a bad problem with that because of how cynical I am.
I think not even men or women, but humans are inevitably competitive.
Yeah.
And it's fun to be competitive. It makes things fun. It makes things interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's why betting is such a big deal. It's because you have something that you're riding on and you're like, it's fun to feel like you are the alpha for a second or two. Like you win beer pong. You know how fucking excited I was and pumped up I was while I was playing beer pong because I'm just competitive and that's fun for me.
Yep.
And I think that can be misconstrued as sometimes as semi-toxic masculinity, but it's just me. I grew up playing sports and you know what I mean? I just like winning.
Yeah.
And I think the feeling of winning is nice. And I think that you have to work, like you have to actually do something to win those things. It takes skill and, you know, you have to be good at whatever you're playing. And like, I'll be the first to admit, I sometimes won't even play certain games because I'm not good at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know, like, I don't like the, like, someone's like, you're a sore loser. And like, yeah, you're fucking damn right I am.
Yeah.
I'm a horrible loser because I just like, I'm competitive. And I know a lot of people.
Losing's not fun.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people think that's so stupid. Oh, well, I lost. But I'm going to be the first one to admit that, like, I've even said that before. Like, I don't care I lost, but I really deep down.
You do.
Too. And that could make me douchey. And that could make me semi. Over. I know that's not like toxic masculinity. Yeah. I don't think it's not quite there, but, you know, a little more masculine than maybe I should be at times because of.
See, I don't think there's anything wrong. I've talked with some specifically about this topic with some female friends recently, which is really interesting. And I haven't heard this from a lot of my female friends, about how they feel like their inherent identity is being stripped away. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought. The idea, I mean, men and women, biologically, we do different things, mm-hmm. and that's okay. That's fantastic. I love the compliment. I love the universal poetry of it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Men and women are not biologically the same. What a controversial statement in 2019.
What do you think about the fighting part of it? Like, you know how, have you ever heard a girl say, like, I don't understand when guys fight?
Yeah. Yeah. And you probably don't. I don't understand what the hell you mean when you see a baby and you go, oh, I have fever now. Like, I don't get
or,
it. It's just a crying mess of shit.
Yeah. Or just like the talking about something to a point where you're like beating a dead horse and you're like being like, I think, and I know I'm not trying to give guys this like this avenue, but it's like sometimes it's easier just to do that.
Yeah.
Because I have seen so many scenarios where people have fought and then right after it's like, okay, we're good now.
Well, there's so that I really believe in the biology of that, that we are
primitive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like very primitive.
Yeah.
And we have that brain and we have conversation. We have developed language so that we don't just walk around bashing each other in the heads with rocks and sticks.
Yeah.
We go, okay, look, in order to have buildings and progress and develop societies and families and communities and whatever the hell we want to do, we have to have some way to engage with each other. The electrical neural firings in my brain are making me do certain ways, and I process the information around me in certain ways. So what I'll do is I'll take that information, I'll make my throat, the vocal cords vibrate, you'll hear it, and then you will understand me.
Yeah.
And so we need words to agree on. Mm-hmm. Great. We all have words. Now we can communicate. Now we can go, hey, Shane, what you're doing is bothering me. And yeah. I really want you to stop that.
But even
Here's why.
But even then, you get to a point where
that's it.
You can't talk
that's
about
exactly
it anymore.
That's exactly it. Once conversation dies, it's confrontation.
Because it gets to a point where I've been here 1,000 times where two people are saying the same thing over and over again, but there's a disagreement and it gets heated enough to where it gets to a physical point. I get the whole like, get in your car and drive away.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to be mad all night.
Right.
And, you know, it's just much easier for me to do that and then feel like even if I'm the one that loses, it's
that's
like,
why
it's like, okay,
yeah,
it's over. I lost, you know, yada. And I don't want to argue about that thing anymore.
Right.
Or we can sit there and continue to be arguing about the same, saying the same thing, saying the same words. And then I think a lot of men get to a point where they've just had enough.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I've asked you to do this.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. I've asked you to get away from me. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So now.
Now we have to go
and
to
I,
this point.
Yeah. And I, it's, and 99% of the time, me or you know, people give, you give them a warning. You're like, hey, please stop doing this.
You should,
this.
Yeah. That's, but that's it. Like I, who was it? Somebody said it. Maybe it was Rogan, maybe Peterson, who knows. About how every man has, it, when you're conversating with another man, at the back of your mind, somewhere in that primitive brainstem, you think, I could kill this guy.
Oh, dude, I am, I mean, this might make me whatever you want to call me. I don't even care. At
a
this
biological
point.
Function.
But I walk around and I size people up.
You, I mean,
if you don't think I've thought if I could beat you up, Jacob, you're crazy. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, we walk around to people and I first meet.
And same shame. Yeah, here we are.
Here's your sword, sir. No, but I've, as soon as I meet a guy, that's damn near the first thing I do is like, you know, I just size him up and kind of see what kind of, you know, physical swagger they have. And then just kind of. You know.
I check their teeth. I check their dick size.
Those are good biting teeth there.
Yeah, you got to know those things. No, but I mean, that's real. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
And then when you're with friends, you're like, okay. So I've played out scenarios in my head where I beat up my friend and my friend beat me up. So we're pretty evenly matched.
Yeah.
So now when we function as a group dynamic and we go out into the streets.
I feel like an equal.
Now it's like, okay, cool. So we are together on this against the world.
Yeah.
And you've sized each other up.
Have
all
you
these
ever
scenarios.
Had a friend where you they had attributes about them that were weaker and you felt the need to stick up for them and be there for them?
Yeah.
Because I've had friends where like either they're not a fighter, they just never have been, they have no desire to, and I just have this inherent, like they're my friend.
Yeah.
We're go out in these situations and I feel like I have to be the person that protects
them
if something.
Step in and have that moment.
Yeah.
I went with, there were four of, total of five, four girls and myself. Mm-hmm. We went to see Bert Kreischer. Have I told this story?
You've told it to me. I don't know if you told it on the episode.
I don't know either. But this was the exact scenario. We were seeing a comedy show. There was a dude in front of us, really drunk, really belligerent, only was concerned with himself. Have fun. Go to a show and drink. I don't care. Yeah. But when you're consistently smashing your chair back into their knees and refusing to accept them saying, hey, scoot up, please. Stay up there.
Yeah.
Then it was an issue. And I tried to let the issue just resolve itself at first. I was watching, enjoying the show. He kept doing it. So I said something to him. He got real shitty about it. And I told their friends to take care of him right now or I was. Mm-hmm. And there was no bravado. There was no, I'm a big, strong guy and I'll hurt you. It was just, this
you
is were, the problem in the moment well, you were and I put, will resolve this.
You were put in that situation.
Exactly.
No one, you didn't come
didn't
to that place
to
trying to hurt somebody.
There. Exactly.
But you did all the right things. And this is what I always try to do too when I'm put in those situations is one, you try to talk to him and rationalize with him first.
Right.
And then when they don't do that, you tell them, look, if you don't stop doing this, I'm going to do something.
Yes.
Because you, they put you in that situation.
Right.
So you, at that point, it's out of your hands. Like, yeah, you can do all these other things like fucking shut up and take it, but I am not one of those people. And I don't, you know what I mean? And then, or I could just like walk away and go blow off some steam. And yeah, but I shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes me mad about situations when there's just like somebody who's poking the bear.
That antagonist like, constantly.
Yeah. You're in the freaking, you know, wherever and you're enjoying yourself, why do I have to leave? Because you're acting some way.
Right.
Yeah.
To be the bigger man, I suppose. But I think that concept has kind of gone by the, I don't know, it's gotten perverted, it's gotten twisted. And being the bigger man now that phrase, I think, means be the one who shows your belly. Yeah. Just give up. That's the bigger man. It's like, well, no, I don't think so. I don't think so anymore. But those are moments, I guess, where you choose to stop being nice guys.
Definitely.
I don't know. Not something, you know, bragging about going out and hurting people. That's not the idea for anyone, for us, for listeners or anything.
Not at all.
But speaking of guys, actors or actresses, ladies.
Yeah.
We're at 50. We'll finish it up in the next 10.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up. Favorite actors. Who is it? Who's your favorite actor or actors, actresses? So,
I just wrote down three just because Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't like him, but I think he's a really good actor. And
I do too.
Enjoy just about 99% of the things that he's in. And then two people that remind me of each other. And anytime I see a movie with either of them in it, I almost have to watch it because I just love the way that they act and their personalities. Paul Rudd and Jason Bateman.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair. Their like sarcastic, but happy. And then, Jason Bateman does this thing where he like, no matter the situation that he's in, like in Ozark, the show, he's in all these shitty situations, but he has a way of like being comedical in those moments and kind of like able to, like, he's about to die and he's still making jokes.
Just whatever it is.
And then Paul Rudd, I don't know. I just love everything.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah. What about you?
My favorite, favorite actors, men actors, Johnny Depp, been a long time love and inspiration of mine.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Christoph Waltz.
I don't know who that is.
He's the German. He's Dr. King Schultz in Django Unchained.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And, Hans Landa. That's his name. Hans Landa in Inglourious Bastards. That's a bingo.
I thought that's the same guy.
It is. It's the same actor. Those are two roles.
But that's his name in the movie.
Christoph Waltz, yeah, is his name.
Got it.
Who's my third favorite actor? Hugo Weaving. V. He was V in V for Vendetta.
Yeah, Mr. Anderson.
Yes, yeah. And Agent Smith. Gotcha. Favorite female actresses? Natalie Portman. Love her. V, there's another tie. Uma Thurman, mm-hmm. I think, is probably my second favorite actress. Do I have a third? Not coming to me. I think those two. They're badass in their own way. Like they have such very different tasks and a lot of their films that they do, but a lot of times they overcome in some grandiose way.
I agree. I like, those are some good picks.
Yeah.
I could see the reasons why you like those people given your personality too.
Yeah.
I think they're good actors.
What's favorite movie? Do you have a favorite movie?
Not really. There's so many movies that I feel like I'd be doing a disservice to another movie if I said, yeah.
Which one's your favorite?
What about you? You got a favorite movie?
V for Vendetta.
It is a good movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
The first time I watched it, I watched it on FX and then I watched it like
the uncensored version afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I watched it like 2-3 times on TV and then went out and bought it and watched it again before school.
It's very cool.
The day's coming up soon.
Halloween?
No. Oh, are we going to be on? Are we going to have a date? When is that? That's awesome. So next week is the 3rd, right? And we will be releasing an episode on Tuesday, which is the 5th of November. That's pretty cool. I like that.
What's the 5th of November?
The 5th of November. So maybe we'll have a little moment for that. I think that's pretty good for where we're at, don't you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Solid show. As always, we share our mind on the show. We talk, we say what we think. We are open to new ideas, new perspectives. So if you listen to the show, which we hope everyone in the world does, send us a message. Let us know what you think about the show, your opinions on the show, what you might have to say in response, or even somebody that you think would be great to come on the show and do a visit. Just reach out to us. We love to hear about that. What else we got? What do I usually do? Do I usually do the guest and then we talk about all that stuff?
I don't know.
That's our show. Next week, we have Gene Roddenberry will be here to talk about space socialism. Very excited about that idea. If you love the show and want to support us, give us all of your earnings. Definitely. Or go to teespring.com/awoo. That's teespring.com/awoo.
A-A-W-O-O.
We have designs and shirts and tapestries, blankets, pillows, vibrators, I think even now.
Yoga pants.
Yeah, yoga pants. All kinds of cool stuff. So we appreciate all those sales. We have... I don't have all the names. I was gonna say, hey, whoever has bought something, if you have bought something, actually, send us a message or a picture of you with your stuff on it. I know Josh, and Emma,
Calvin and Kenzie.
I know a couple Paige. Other people. Paige has one.
Yeah.
There were some other people who said that they have stuff. Lonnie.
Yeah,
Lonnie has one. So yeah, I'm trying to do the names out of go. But send those over so we can do the due credit for you guys for supporting the show. Send us a picture of you in whatever it is you purchase or using whatever Thunderwolf stuff. And we'll make sure to get your name, your picture up on Facebook or our Instagram if you'd like, whatever and wherever. Thanks so much for listening. And it was good to be back in the spare bedroom studio this week.
Refreshing.
We will have some cool guests coming up in the future. Going to talk after the show about some dates such and when we can get them in. Beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Time's up.
Goodbye.